I came, because I am a participant in the great work which the Master is now doing for mankind, and I want to assure you that in all your efforts to carry out this work I will give you my love and exert my power to make you successful. I too, will be of your band, and you will have a band that will be so powerful that no opposition will be able to withstand it. So you must have faith, and with that will come the divine love and power to do these things which will help you work beyond your conception. I will not write more tonight, but in the future you will receive many messages from me. Your friend and brother, Matthew. I must add my testimony to the others who have preceded me, to the fact that the Master is now doing a great work for the redemption of mankind, and that through you he is going to transmit his great spiritual truths to sinful man. I will not write much tonight, but say that in the future I will communicate my thoughts, which 156, are the creatures of knowledge and experience in the celestial spheres of Christ's kingdom. So I will say good night, and may God keep you in his love and care forevermore. Saint Mark, the writer of the second gospel, originally true as written, but now full of errors. I am here, John. Yes, I am the Saint John of the Bible. I merely want to say that you are better tonight than you were this afternoon when we all wrote to encourage you, and I am glad of it. You will be relieved and will soon get all that you need to relieve your worries. So do not trouble more. Well, I am interested because I want you to get into the proper condition to do the work which has been assigned you to do by the Master. This is one reason why I come, and in addition to this I want to see you happy for your own sake. So pray and believe, and you will come out of all your worries triumphant. I will not write more tonight. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Helen. Well, my own dear Ned, you have had more writings tonight from the higher spirits, and very soon it looks as if all the disciples will have written you. But you must not write more tonight, as you are tired and must go to bed. Well, you will have an evening to ourselves very soon, as I am trying to, for an exchange of our loving thoughts. But these things of the Master are so much more important that we must let them have precedence. But I love you more than ever, and you must love me. I will tell you more of my present condition very soon, and of some of our friends. So good night. With all my love and many kisses, I am your own true and loving, Helen. July 21, 1915. I am here, Daniel, the prophet of God of the Old Testament. I am with you tonight because you have reason to believe that you have been selected to do the work of Jesus in transmitting his messages to mankind, and I want to add my testimony to that of the others who have preceded me. I am a follower of the Master, although I lived on earth many years before he came to announce the Paget Messages 1915, the rebestowal of the great divine love of the Father, and show the way by which every man who so desires may obtain it. I never knew what this love was until Jesus came and declared it to man and to spirits, as he did, and when he came to the spirit world, after his crucifixion, he preached to us who were in the spiritual spheres the great doctrine of God's plan of salvation. Men must not think that mortals are the only recipients of this love, or that they are the only ones that had the privilege of learning the way to this love, for, as I tell you, Jesus came to the spirits who lived in the spiritual heavens, and made known this great plan and taught the way to immortality. I was, before his coming, a spirit who enjoyed the favor of the Father to the extent that my natural love was developed to the highest degree, and in that love I was comparatively happy. I also possessed great intellectual development, but as to the divine love, which I now possess, I knew nothing of, nor did any spirit then living. This may seem strange to you, because from my history as contained in the Old Testament, you would naturally suppose that I was in high favor with God, and so I was, but that favor extended no further than in receiving from him a very great amount of the natural love which he had bestowed on all mankind, and in knowing by my spiritual perceptions and the power of a psychic nature, which I possessed, that God was caring for me and using me to convince the heathen nations that there was only one God, and that he alone should be worshipped. Never did I know the reality of what the divine love was, or that I was not in position other than I might have been, had not that love been taken from mankind when our great earthly father committed his fatal act of disobedience. No spirit in those times before the coming of Jesus, could possibly progress higher than the sphere where this natural love and intellectual development existed in their greatest degree of perfection. So you see, I was never a spirit possessed of this divine nature, until after the coming of the Master, and you will find nowhere in the Old Testament any declaration or promise the man should possess this divine nature, and we who lived in the days of my earthly life, were satisfied with and expected only the favors and gifts of God as they might affect our earthly prosperity and happiness. I was a prophet, as it is written, and God spoke to me through his spirits the things which I declared to the people, and also enabled me to foretell many things which would and did happen. But this great favor and gift did not bring to me the possession of the divine love or nature of the Father, and when I came to die, I passed to the spirit world a spirit possessed only of the natural love and the great moral development which my communications from my associations with the spirits of the Father had given me. So man must not think that we of the Old Testament, no matter whether prophet or seer or the specially favored by God, ever had this divine essence of his, while we lived on earth or while we existed as spirits, before the coming of Jesus. Abraham, Moses or Elias never possessed this divine nature, although they were the specially chosen of God to do his work in the particulars in which they were chosen, and they never understood that their lives after death were to be anything more than a mere existence in the spirit world as spirits, or, as it was expressed, they were gathered to the home of their fathers. Rest was then understood as the great condition of the good men of God, and this rest meant to them a relief from all earthly troubles and a happiness that would result from such freedom. So that, when the Master came into the spirit world and preached the great truth of the Rebstoel of the divine love, the spirits were as much surprised as were mortals, and there was just as much unbelief among them as among mortals. The Jews still believe in their doctrines which had been their rule of faith when in the flesh, and the laws of Moses and the declarations of the prophets control them as spirits just as they had controlled them on earth. Of course, after they became spirits, they learned many things which pertained to the spirit world of which they had no knowledge as mortals, and among the laws which they learned as spirits was the great law of recompense. Of course, Moses had in a way taught the principles of this law as instanced in his decree of an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, but this was merely a shadow of what the law of recompense means in the spirit world. This law was then in existence just as much as it is now. But then spirits had only the natural love to help them get out of their condition of suffering and darkness, and, in many cases, it required centuries and centuries for this love to work out their salvation. 157, The Paget Messages 1915, and I must tell you also, that when this natural love had done its work, the spirit came into a condition of happiness and satisfaction. So much so, that many of them remain contented, and some who lived on earth when I lived and became spirits when I became a spirit, are still in that condition of happiness which this natural love in a pure state gives them. They did not awaken to the great truth that the divine love had been offered them at the time of Jesus coming to earth, just as many, yes, as the large majority of men, have never awakened to this fact. So you see, while God in his goodness and mercy has provided a way by which all may become partakers of his divine nature and of the corresponding great and never dying happiness, yet, he has also provided a natural love which may become free from all sin and earthly grossness, and when so purified enables the spirit to enjoy a happiness far beyond what mortals may conceive of. But this latter condition does not bring immortality, and no spirit with only this natural love has any assurance that it is immortal. Well, I have written very much and must stop for this time. Well, at the time Moses and Elias met Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration, they had received a portion of this divine love, because they had learned previous to that date of its re-bestowal on mankind. And as they were very spiritual beings, in the sense that they had developed their natural love to its supreme excellence and were very near the Father in their soul development, so they were ready recipients of this divine love when it came again to man and spirits. But they were not so filled with it then as many spirits who were mortals in your time are now. As I understand the meaning of the Transfiguration, it was to show to the disciples of the Master that while Jesus was the possessor and embodiment of this divine love in the mortal world, So Moses and Elias were the possessors of it in the spirit world. In other words, Jesus' appearance showed that it had been bestowed on mortal man, and the appearance of Moses and Elias showed that it had also been bestowed on the spirits. Sometime I will come and relate to you my experience in finding this love and in becoming convinced of the real mission and truth of Jesus' teaching, and how this love came into my soul and resulted in my becoming a Christian. The sphere in which I live has no number, but it is high 158, in the celestial heavens, but not as high as that in which the apostles live. They have wonderful soul development, which means the possession of this love to a great degree, which determines their place of living. Well, I am grateful that I could write to you tonight, and I feel that by having done so, I am opening the way to my being able to do good to mortals, for we are now forming an army, as you would say, to make a great and successful onslaught on the powers of evil and darkness as they now exist in the mortal world. Jesus will be the leader of this army. Do we, who are his followers, realize that fact and follow him without question? So, my friend, I must stop. With the love of a brother, who to you may seem ancient, but is very young, I will say, good night, Daniel. I am here, Samuel, the prophet of God of the Old Testament. I am the same Samuel whom the woman of Indah called from the spirit world to show Saul his doom, and as I come to you tonight, I came to her at that time, only my purpose is not the same, and I am not the same spirit in my qualifications. I am now a Christian and know what the divine love of the Father means, while then, I did not, and was a spirit living in comparative happiness and existing in the consciousness that I had done my work on earth, and was then enjoying the repose of the righteous, for as we understood that were then in both the mortal and spirit worlds, I was a righteous man. I come to you tonight, because I see that you have been chosen to do the great work of the Master in his efforts to redeem mankind from their lives of sin and error, and to show them the way by which they may partake of the divine nature of the Father and obtain immortality. How much more mankind, and spirits too, are blessed now than they were when I was a mortal, and for a long time after I became a spirit. My God then and your God now, are the same, but his great gift of divine love was not in existence then as it is now. And so you and all other mortals should realize the great privilege you have because of this gift and the gift of Jesus to explain, and show the way by which that love may be obtained, and that freely without mental exercise of a high order, but merely by the longings and, the Paget Messages 1915, aspirations of the soul in its desires to become a part of the Father's divinity. I tell you that the ways of God are wonderful and mysterious, and his plans, while to us may seem to be working slowly, yet they are working surely, and will be accomplished in his own fullness of time. I never knew when on earth, that God was such a God of love and mercy. He was our Jehovah and ruler. He was a God of anger and wrath and a jealous God, as I thought, ever ready to punish those whom he thought to be his enemies with massacre and death. I obeyed him and performed his work as I understood I should, more through fear than love. In fact, love was never with me a weapon or instrument to be used in bringing the disobedient Jew to a compliance with what we thought was the will of God. In such a method of procuring obedience the soul was never developed, and love was a minor factor in making the Jews obedient to the Father's requirements. Our principal desires were for the success of our earthly undertakings, and when these were accomplished, we had no further use for our God, except to keep him in reserve for occasions that might arise when, as we thought, we might need his assistance. I know that Moses commanded the Jews to love God with all their souls and mind and strength, and many of them thought that they were doing so, but in reality their love was limited by the extent of their desires for worldly gain. And this I know, for when they had succeeded in obtaining what they wanted, they forgot to love God, and, hence we prophets were so often required to instruct them, and so frequently did call them to a recollection of God, and the danger they ran in forgetting him and his laws. But we seldom attempted to have them call back in their recollections of him through love, but nearly always through threatening and the portrayal of dire punishments that would be inflicted upon them should they continue to forget him. And thus it was that Saul sought my help and advice. He thought that not only had God forsaken him, but that he had forsaken God, and he expected the punishment that he thought would result from such neglect to serve and obey God. And he thought that as I was in the spirit world and probably very close to God, I would exercise some influence and have the great threatened calamity arrested. B. He did not seek me through love of God, but through fear of his enemies and dread that God would direct his wrath upon him. So you see, fear was the ruling sentiment that actuated the Jews in my time in their dealings with God, and when that fear was allayed or forgotten, God was forgotten, and only again remembered when danger appeared. Of course, there were many exceptions to this class of Jews, for there were some who really loved God and that in a way that no fear of wrath or anger on his part formed a part of their love. So, you will see that the laws of Moses were not so much intended to regulate the spiritual or soul part of the Jews, but to control them in their dealings with one another in the practical affairs of life and in their dealings with the heathens and strangers. The moral laws thus taught were taught for the purpose of making them righteous as between themselves, and then, as a consequence, so they thought, they would be righteous towards God. But the great essential to make them one with God by obtaining the divine love was missing, and never sought for, and could not then be found, for it did not then exist for mankind. I am now a Christian and know that the divine love is a reality and that all men may have it if they will only seek for it. Well, the woman of Indah was not a witch and did not practice the black art. She was a good woman possessed of powers to call up the dead, as they were called. She did not engage in practices of doing harm to mortals, such as putting spells upon them or using charms, but she was a true medium and, while not possessed of much spirituality, yet she was a woman of good morals, and had around her many spirits of a higher order whose only desires were to do good to mortals. She was the one who was careful to have no evil spirits come and communicate, and her powers with the higher ones were very great. Had she been of what you call the lower class of mediums, I would never have responded to her call. She was in rapport with men and other spirits whose thoughts were turned to the higher things of the spirit world, and, hence, she had no difficulty in having us appear when she desired it for the consolation of help to mortals. Saul, I had instructed and advised when alive, and naturally after I became a spirit and he needed help, he would seek my advice. In those days mediums were more numerous than most people suppose, and because of their being so common and of such different kinds, and the most of them engaged in necromancy and evil arts, there were 159, the Paget Messages 1915, passed strict laws against them pursuing their calling or engaging in the practice of consulting spirits. But not all were bad, and many of them did good in the world, and among these was the woman of Indah, notwithstanding that she has been so vilified and abused by the churches and preachers. You may be surprised when I tell you that she is now living high up in the celestial heavens and a redeemed spirit enjoying the divine love of God. Well, I must stop, but I will come again sometime and tell you of the things that I know in reference to these higher spheres. I will say good night, your friend and brother, Samuel. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you must stop for tonight. You are tired and it will do you harm to write more. They are powerful spirits and look as young as do the spirits of those who died recently, and were very young. I mean they looked like young men and really are, and they are very highly developed in their souls and intellects. Daniel is especially beautiful and also very powerful. With all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. July 22, 1915. I am here, Sebastian. I am the spirit of a man who lived on the earth a few hundred years after the death of Jesus and was a bishop of the Church of Christ, and was crucified because of my faith and teaching of the truth of Jesus. I was not a very great Christian in the sense of having a large degree of soul development, but I had the intellectual faith which caused me to pursue with energy and zeal the callings to which I had given my life. I was not known to the world as a great disciple of the Master. But in the limited territory in which I lived and worked I was known as a zealous follower of the Master and a propagandist of his truths. I am now in the celestial spheres and am possessed of the divine love of the Father and am happy beyond description. I am interested in the work which you are now performing and want to assure you of my cooperation in making known to the world the great truths which Jesus came to earth to teach and make known to humanity. So, I will be of those who will sustain and help you to transmit these truths to mankind, and I will 160 occasionally write you, as opportunity presents itself. I lived in Italy and died there a martyr to my faith. So you see, I was like the disciples in this particular. I will not write more tonight, but will say that I am your brother in Christ, Sebastian. I was a spirit who, when on earth, was known as the man who conquered and destroyed Jerusalem. I am Vespasian, the Roman emperor. I became a Christian even before my death, but I never was more than a Christian in name. I knew nothing of the true doctrines of Christianity, or of the love which the early Christians professed to possess, as such love was taught by Jesus. My espousing Christianity was a matter of political expediency, and was not the result of any fixed faith in the truths of that religion. But since I became a spirit, I have become a true Christian, and am now a follower of and believe in the truths of the Master. I live in the celestial spheres and am a redeemed spirit and have the happiness which such condition ensures. You must not think that because I was once emperor I enter into the determination of what place I shall occupy in the celestial spheres. Only the soul's development determines that question. But I am a high spirit, nevertheless, and I want to tell you that I am interested in your work among men and the unfortunate spirits. So believe me when I tell you that I am in sympathy with your work and will aid you to the best of my ability. I know that you have your doubts as to my writing to you, and I can hardly blame you, for it is not natural to suppose that the spirit of one who passed over such a long time ago would have the interest in you or in humanity to cause him to come to the earth sphere again, and attempt to write to you or to help mortals. But it is a fact, nevertheless, and you must believe me. Well, we do not stand still in our spirit life, and we have learned many languages since we became spirits, and knowing some time ago that mortals would be called upon to do the work of assisting in the redemption of men, we have prepared ourselves so that we can understand and write most of the languages of earth. But in the case of the English language, we saw that the greatest number of mediums come from the race speaking that language, and hence we paid particular, the Paget Messages 1915, attention to the learning of the English tongue. We can learn so much more readily the various languages since we became spirits, and men must not think that spirits do not progress in their knowledge of nearly every kind of learning. I am not now the one-sided person that I was on earth. The whole universe is open to me to learn whatever it contains, and I have studied with great interest and assiduity ever since I became a spirit. Well, I must stop, but will come again and tell you of many things that my studies have brought to my knowledge. So, with the best and kindest of feelings, I'm your brother in Christ, Vespasian, the Roman Emperor. I am here, Chrysostom. I come because I want to tell you that you have entered upon a work that will bring much happiness to mankind and much glory to the cause of the Master. When alive, I was a teacher of the truths of the Master, and lived a great many years among a people who believed with their intellects, but who knew very little of the soul religion. I, myself, was not a great believer in the truths having reference to the soul's development, but I taught those truths which appealed more to my intellect, and which were of a character suited more to instill merely moral principles than to cause men to receive and understand the real spirit and real meaning of these teachings. But yet such teachings accomplished some good among the people of those times. I was a great student of the Bible, as it was then written, and my studies enabled me to teach and explain these truths in an intellectual way. It seems strange to me now, but it is a fact, that I never understood the inner depths of these truths, and when I came to die, I had not the consolation of knowing that the divine love was the great desideratum, in order for men to become at one with the Father, and to become a partaker of his divinity. I learned these great soul truths after I became a spirit, and met those spirits who had received this great love, and showed by their wonderful appearances and happiness that they possessed it. So you see that while I was sainted for what I was supposed to have done for the good of the church and for mankind, I was not a saint at all, but a very great sinner without the essentials to make me a saint. Many a saint of the church was, when on earth, anything but a saint, and the church in making such person a saint only does what a nation may do in 161. making its prominent warriors and statesmen heroes in marble or bronze. We who were saints of the Church only as we were believers in the Christ, but we were not saints as to the perfection of our soul condition. In my time on earth, I sought to correct abuses in conduct among those people who outwardly, as clergymen, were carrying on the work of Jesus yet, in character, were lax in obtaining from modes of conduct which were contrary to the laws of God as proclaimed in the writings of Moses and preached by the Master. So no church can make a man a saint by merely declaring and recognizing him as such. On earth the sins and evil deeds of men may be hidden by the glamour which the Church casts over and around them, but in the spirit world these sins and blemishes appear in all the nakedness which the glare of the noonday sun may develop. Character cannot be hidden and defects cannot be hidden, and unless the soul of a spirit is pure and spotless, it will have to occupy that place and take that station which its soul development determines as suited for it. So how futile are all these canonizing and worshipping of men as saints when there is nothing of the saint about them. The poorest peasant may be more of a saint in the spirit world than the greatest and the most exalted saint according to the creation of the churches. I do not remember if Vespasian was a Christian at the time, but he is a Christian now, and an inhabitant of the Father's kingdom. So you must not let the doubts that you may have about his writing to you cause you to disbelieve what he said. I saw him write and I know it was he, and no other. With the love of a brother, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Chrysostom, called Saint John A.D. 347-407 Archbishop of Constantinople, I am here, Saint George of the Dragon. I was a warrior, and not a saint. I was an enthusiast in the cause of the Christians against the Turks, and I fought and suffered and died, but as to my being a saint, I never was one more than was any other warrior who was stirred by the great cause which urged us to rescue the Holy Land from the infidels. But, while I was never a saint, yet I was of a religious turn of mind and spiritual things appealed to my higher nature, and at times my soul felt the influence of the workings of the spirit world. But I was never a real possessor of the Father's love as I now am. Since my coming into the Paget Messages 1915, the spirit world I have received this great love, and am now a follower of the Master in my belief in his teachings, and in my efforts to work for the good of humanity. I now know what the divine love of the Father means, and how the possession of it fills the soul with happiness and immortality. I live in the celestial spheres and am a member of the kingdom of Jesus. So, I merely came to add one more testimony to the fact that through you the Master is working to save mankind from their sins and to extend his kingdom of love and happiness to all parts of the earth. I will not write more now. So I will say good night. Your brother in the cause Street, George. I am here, Jesus. I am here to tell you that you have had a cloud of witnesses as to your being selected to do my work, and you have wondered why so many of my disciples and apostles and those called saints should come to you in such close succession, and all testify as to that one fact. Well, I caused them to come as I wished to establish your faith as to my being the true Jesus of the Bible, and as to your mission in regard to my work. So now let all doubt leave you, and let your faith grow until you will never hesitate to believe, no matter what surprising communication may come to you. I am glad that you are feeling better tonight, and if you will only believe in my promises you will have cause to feel very much better in the near future. I do not intend to write more tonight, but soon will give you another message. Yes, they were the persons they represented themselves to be. We will not permit any impostors to write. Yes, that is true, they were actually the old prophets, and they were much interested in your ability to write. They will come again. I must stop now. Good night, your loving brother and friend, Jesus. Your kindness and sympathy. May God bless you and keep you in his care. Your old friend and brother Lo, that was, Franklin H. Mackey. I am here, too, Hugh Daggett. As Mackey said, I am grateful for what you have done for me, and the great light that has come to me by reason of your advice, and the teachings and help of your band, and especially the deep sympathy and sisterly love of that beautiful wife of yours. Why, Paget, I want to tell you that the most fortunate things of my whole existence were my acquaintance with you and the wonderful results that flowed from it. I sometimes wonder how all of this could have come about. When on earth, while I knew that you believed in spiritualism, yet I never realized what your belief and experience meant to you, and what a great help it would be to me, when the time came for me to become a spirit. I will never forget our first argument after I became a spirit on this great question of how I might be rescued from my awful condition of suffering and darkness, and with what earnestness you maintained the position that you took and tried to show me that there was a way by which I could get light and happiness and relief from my torments.